This Is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. We've all heard about the golden years. Maybe you're living them now. It's that phase in life after 65 when many can start thinking about retirement and enjoying the rest of their days with their spouse or partner. When we marry, we hope we can live a long life with the one we love. But it doesn't always work out that way. Today, we look at widowhood from the perspective of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. When a loved one dies, where do widows go for support when they still have many more years before them? Coming up, we'll hear from journalist and author Becky Aikman about life as a young widow. She wrote the book Saturday Night Widows, in part to highlight how our culture doesn't provide much guidance to people who want to move past grief to start their lives again. First, we introduced you to Christy Koval in September during our show on the medical marijuana program in Connecticut. Her late husband, Tracy, had cancer and used medical marijuana after exhausting other treatment options. She's back in the studio with us today to tell us about her journey as a widow in her 40s. Now, have you lost a spouse or partner at a young age? How did you restart your life? You can join the conversation. Email wherewelive at WMPR.org. And as always, find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. Christy Koval, Middletown resident, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you're in your 40s, and as we learned a few months ago, just 3 months, I believe, you lost your husband, Tracy. For listeners who didn't hear that show when we had you on, tell us about him.
So we were married 20 years, and he was diagnosed with cancer 10 years into our marriage. You know, the last two in particular, I was his primary caregiver, and, you know, a lot of things happened during that time. And he passed away in August with the support of hospice and, you know, wonderful family and friends. And so, you know, we had a lot of time to process what was going to happen. And so for me, you know, now I'm in this sort of new phase of my life. And although we sort of talked about this quite a bit, and I felt like I was, you know, prepared, and I'll use the word prepared in quotes, you're actually never really prepared for this. And so, you know, being in this cohort, you know, I sort of thought that there would be a lot of support and resources out there, and I'm finding that you're finding your way in a very unique way because widowhood, you know, is something that when we teach in the lifespan, we're teaching that at sort of the end of your life. You know, you enter widowhood, and then you know, you're entering sort of the end of your life. And I look at my life and I know I have a lot of life left to live. And yet I'm now defined as a widow, which is a very unique sort of state.
Now, you said that you thought that you could be prepared because of your husband's longtime illness, but you said you're never prepared. So after he passed, I mean, do the people have a lot of advice for you or where did you turn?
So, you know, through a lot of, you know, supports, both individual counseling, you know, I found a support group that I'm currently attending. You know, I practice yoga. I've gotten into some meditation. You know, I exercise, friends. You know, I'm doing all of the things that you're supposed to do. You know, I'm choosing to renovate some spaces in my house because I was caring for Tracy in the house, and I felt like that was very helpful to me to sort of change the space and change the energy there. But, you know, it's been a little bit challenging because, you know, support groups, I found, you know, while the group I go to is very well facilitated, the cohort is very, very different. And so the people that I'm meeting in this group, you know, a lot of them have been going for a long period of time. There's a lot of sort of holding on. And I think I was going to the group expecting to meet people my age. And now I'm in this place where I'm looking online for a lot of resources.
Christy helped connect us with another widow and widower. I want to turn to Ada Rodriguez. She's a West Hartford resident and mother of two children. Ada, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell us about your journey.
So my husband passed away 2 years ago after an almost two-year battle with brain cancer. You know, when you get the diagnosis that your husband, who was a healthy individual, that he has brain cancer. And then when you start doing your research about what type of cancer that is, and he had the glioblastoma, which is the worst brain cancer that you can have, we knew at that point that, you know, he had very few years to live, months. We were not sure. So it was a long year journey of 2 years, and then finally he passed. Yeah, you know, it's now it's been 2 years for me. So it's been like a roller coaster of emotions, trying to find out who you are as a person. You were a certain person. You were identified as a mother of two children. You had a husband. You were married. Now, what are you? You know, are you a widow? Are you single? So you really have to discover that new role in your life. And that has been a very tough. My background is in mental health. I study psychology. I'm a licensed professional counselor. And I think that was kind of my saving grace because I knew what I needed to do. I had a lot of close friends that were therapists and psychologists, and I got a lot of support in that way. I did my research and tried to identify places where I could go for support. And being a mental health counselor, I was a little critical and strict about what I needed. And when people didn't provide that to me, I got very discouraged. But I think support. Sometimes the support groups focus a lot on, you know, connecting you that others are in your same situation and you hear everybody's pain. But after that, you know, what comes after? And I think that's the piece that's lacking about that in all this darkness, there's hope and there's light and people need to know that there's, you know, there's good things coming out of all this horrible situation. So,
and we're going to talk about that more a little bit later, but I want to introduce our listeners to our third guest, Mark Dombrowski, another West Hartford resident, a father of two children. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So your story is a little bit different. Unlike Ada and Christy, your spouse passed away suddenly. Can you tell us about her?
Yes. It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon and we were out riding a bike and she had a tragic accident, fell over, was wearing a helmet. But still, the trauma was so great that she passed away after 2 days being on life support. So it was a extreme shock to all of us, just to everyone in the community who learned about this. It just happened very suddenly. I think that without the support of our faith community, especially Father David from Holy Family Passionist Retreat Center, who was really one of the first individuals I called and came right to the hospital to just help, you know, guide me through this situation that was just, I was totally unprepared to make those kinds of decisions and that sort of thing. So, you know, Anne was very connected into the community in West Hartford through all of her volunteer activities. And through we had connections with several of the churches in town. So we really received such an outpouring of love and support initially and even up to now. I mean, it has just been incredible, the support we've gotten from everyone, from the schools, the community, our neighbors, not to mention our family. Anne had family here in Middletown and Deep River and Clinton and also North Providence, Rhode Island. So her family is all close. My family's in North Carolina, but they were able to stay with me during those first couple weeks and really provide a lot of support. So I'm just really kind of in the early stages of this process. So I'm really interested to hear what others have found helpful to them, and I'm happy to share any other thing of my observations and things that I've learned, that things that have helped me.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Today we're talking about widowhood, specifically the perspective of young widows and widowers, people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, and how people who are listening now can support them. And I wanted to turn back to Christy. So you helped us reach out to Ada and Mark, but you're also you're an extrovert. You're very comfortable talking with people. But for people who may not have a strong community behind them or a close network of friends and family, what would your advice be to them?
Well, I think the goal here is you want to make sure you reach out for support. You want to recognize that, you know, while you're going through your own grief, it's really okay to ask for help. It's okay if you are somebody and you see somebody who's a young widow to offer that help. You know, one of the things we were talking about is how supportive the community and friends and family are, but it's not the support sort of let me know if you need anything. It's how about I come do your leaves, or you know what, do you want to have lunch next Tuesday, or I'm picking up groceries, I'm at the store right now, do you want me to help you with that? So I think, you know, really assessing your family, your friends, your network, and taking advantage of it, because you're going to need them, even if your network isn't terribly large. But I think people, you know, people do really step up, and I've been very, very fortunate. My neighborhood is wonderful. My family and friends are wonderful. So you just have to be open to asking for it. And if you know somebody who's a young widow, offer something, and offer something tangible, you know, something that you don't have to think about, like a pre-made sort of thing.
Ada, I want to turn back to you, hearing a little bit of Christy's story. Was that easy for you to do, to ask for help or to accept help when it was given?
Well, I think that's where we go at people with different personalities. You know, I've always been pretty independent and kind of – I came to Connecticut about, I don't know, it's been like maybe 20 years ago from El Salvador. So I really don't have any family here. David's family, my husband, late husband, lives in Long Island. So they're a little far. They're very loving and caring and support me. But really, I had to really depend on friends. And during this whole situation, I needed to learn that it was okay to receive the help. And it was okay to say yes to all those offers, and that it was okay that my neighbor was doing my snow every snowstorm before I would be, oh, please don't do that for me. So you learn, you adjust.
Now, are there things that people have said to you in your journey that you would, you know, recommend that some people not say to someone who's lost a person that very close to them? Mark, I'll throw that question to you.
I'm not sure. I think anything that's said, I understand where it's coming from. You know, so what I've noticed is the people that do push in closer, they generally have something important to say to you, and it's oftentimes out of their own loss or grief that they are experienced in it, and they're able to share that with you. You know, sometimes if people, you know, you can kind of sense if they're a little awkward or uncomfortable, and that's okay too. You know, really just maybe they haven't had that experience, and, you know, our experience is so unique that, you know, we don't expect a lot of people to know what's going on. But the people that do push through, the people that come forward, they come to you for a reason, and I've found that they really have something good to say for you.
I want to take a call now. Lynn's calling from her car. Lynn, you're on the show.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was driving along and caught the beginning of this show and found it quite interesting, as I am currently 51 years old. I'm also a resident of West Hartford. So there's a couple on the phone from there. And I lost my husband 8 years ago. I was 43, and he had only been ill for about 2 months, actually exactly 2 months. He had a rare form of leukemia. So it wasn't something we were preparing for at that point. And we had been married for almost 19 years. So I heard another woman was 20. We didn't have any children. And what that, in terms of my whole transition, was hearing some of this topic, I suddenly started to find some organizations or groups of people out there that I never knew about. I got back in touch with some activities I used to do outdoors in my childhood that I hadn't been doing as much of. I found a local ski club that did year-round activities through another friend of mine, and started going to some of their activities, and that spawned into another organization, the Appalachian Mountain Club, and started to engage with some folks there. From a spirituality perspective, started to hit into, I heard another woman talk about meditation. I also got into yoga and meditation, and that led to some other avenues and some other individuals and groups of people. And I have to say now, my life is so full. There's never a day I don't think about my husband, and I miss him. But it really brought some new things to me that weren't out there. But I agree, it's really hard at that age. Again, I was 43, that a lot of people think if you're not, you know, not with somebody at that stage, you're probably divorced. And it's a different situation when you're widowed. And so I was very fortunate. But again, you know, I still am building my life. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn, and we're happy to hear that you're doing well. And I wanted to have Christy respond to Lynn's story because, again, you know, part of why you wanted to come on to the show was to talk about the fact that there is hope.
Absolutely, and thank you for sharing your story. And I'm also finding too that you know, your life is sort of changing in different ways, and so you're. You know, you're meeting new people and you're having new experiences, and because you're reframing your life, I find it very helpful to connect with younger people, you know, people in my age that are going through this or maybe farther along, because, you know, you sort of have a planful life. And when you're with a spouse and, you know, as Ada mentioned, you're sort of defined as wife, it could be mother, you know, and when all of that is no longer your reality and you're trying to establish a new reality, I think you need to be very open to that. And I think being open, you know, creates a lot of hope.
I want to take another call right before we go to break. Yvonne's calling from Canton. Yvonne, you're on the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I also was listening to the program on my drive into work this morning, and I wanted to let your listeners and your panel know that there is an organization called Beginning Experience International Ministry, and I hope that you might have come across it in your Google searches. I'm not sure. But it is a organization that helps people with grief recovery, and they have a weekend program primarily, and I heard your panel member saying that the support groups are somewhat helpful to know that they're not alone and to know that other people have pain and to be able to share your pain, but I think that they are touching on something as well, that they might be searching for something, for what to do when they're ready to perhaps move on from there or what does come next. And this ministry provides that type of program. And the next weekend program that is available is going to be in March. Generally in the Connecticut area, they hold it twice a year, once in the fall and once in the spring. And the one coming up is going to be the weekend of March 3rd to 6th. And it's a fantastic organization. It's been around for over 40 years. It's been around in Connecticut since 2007. It's also international. Should I give the phone number for if they want to find out about it? Or
sure, and then we'll have to go to break. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Sure. The number is 574-283-0279. And they could go to the website, beginningexperience.org, and it is all about hope, and it is all about how to go on living, basically. And I would just encourage everyone to find it on the internet or give us a call, 574-283-0279.
All right, Yvonne, thank you so much for that information. We'll also put that up on our website, wmpr.org/where we live. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchel, and today we're bringing you stories from women and men in Connecticut who've lost their spouses at a young age. They find it often it's hard to relate to certain support groups that are geared towards senior citizens. When we come back from the break, we'll hear from journalist and author Becky Aikman about how widowhood doesn't mean life has ended. In fact, there is hope to restart life again, including finding love again. We'll hear from her coming up. This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchel. Today we're talking about widowhood with three Connecticut residents who each lost their spouses at a relatively young age. Where do they go for support? There are support groups out there, but it's not a one-size-fits-all. Becky Aikman can attest to that. The journalist and author lost her husband when she was in her 40s. She grieved, but then she wanted to learn how to move on. Her journey is detailed in her book, Saturday Night Widows, The Adventures of Six Friends Remaking Their Lives, and she joins us from NPR Studios in New York. Becky Aikman, welcome to Where We Live.
Hi, Lucy.
So tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, when my husband died, like these other guests that you've had, I felt very disconnected from the rest of society because no one expects to suddenly be alone at that stage in their lives. So I sought out resources, as all of your guests did, to try to help me find a way to go forward and have a happy life. I was very happy to hear them talking about things like going on ski trips and doing yoga because I find that our culture is very uncomfortable with anything that has to do with death. And therefore, a lot of the resources for widows, unfortunately, are based on very outdated conventional ideas that aren't terribly helpful. Ideas that widows are supposed to be dreary and dowdy and hopeless and helpless, and they should join support groups where they sit around with other helpless people talking about how sad they are. I, in fact, did go to a widow's support group where that happened, and when I spoke to the facilitator of the group and said, couldn't we focus more on ideas for going forward and trying to be happy, he said, I don't think you fit in. I don't think you should come back.
Wow, so you got kicked out.
I was kicked out of my widow's support group, which wasn't such a bad thing in the long run because as a journalist, it forced me to then go and do research about what is actually helpful for people who have lost a loved one. And I met with scientists who've studied actual people, and they told me that much of the conventional wisdom is wrong. That in fact, like many other setbacks and transitions in life, what's helpful is not to sit around being sad about it, but to get out into the world, to nurture your friendships, to enjoy laughter, and to seek out new experiences, because after all, that's what you've got to do if you want to remake a life. So your guests who are doing these sorts of things are doing exactly what resilient people do when they're confronted by a setback, which is to get out, try to engage in the world, and try to find a new path.
You talk about some of the, I guess, old research out there or old thought process of how to help people who are grieving. In your book, it's the five stages of grief. But when you spoke to researchers, you found out that this was not exactly what people go through.
Right. Everybody talks about the five stages of grief. And when my husband died, I kept expecting them to show up on some sort of timetable. And I was shocked when they did not. That is because the five stages of grief have nothing to do with what people experience when they have lost a loved one. They are, in fact, the five stages that supposedly people go through when they are dying. So many people have these expectations, and that support group I went to made us study them as if we were supposed to somehow follow this path. And in fact, the five stages of grief are completely irrelevant to someone who is going through a loss.
I wanted to turn back to some of our in-studio guests. Was listening to a little bit of Becky's story. Ada, I mean, obviously you have a background in mental health and helping people. So did you consider that this five stages of grief that's often mentioned to people who are suffering a loss isn't something that everyone even experiences?
Yes, because when I was going through it, I kept on going back to the stages of grief and trying to figure out what stage I was in. And I'm like, am I in shock? Am I angry? And so it kind of didn't fit in. So I totally agree with the author. And I completely agree that you really have to go out there into the world. And I actually made a list of, it was my quest for joy because I decided that I needed to fill my life with all those things that I love to do and I had not done because I was busy and do more of that.
Quest for joy. I think that you think you should trademark that. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is very helpful to me because I'm really so early on in the stages. And, you know, I did the Wikipedia searches and that sort of thing. And, you know, even as early as yesterday, I was looking at the five stages and just like trying to understand if this was really what I was going through or not. It didn't quite ring true with me as well. So it's been very helpful.
And Krista, you're a pretty positive person, but I'm sure you've had your days where it's hard to get out of bed.
Well, you know, it is. It's you have, I guess, whatever the stage characteristics are, but they just show up at different times. So you can have anger, you can feel, you know, denial and things like that. But again, you know, I agree. It's all about sort of moving forward. And I think if you are, you know, seeking out resources and seeking out supports and, you know, engaging with others and moving forward and doing activities you love, I think you can have those feelings. But I don't believe, again, that they should be sort of the blueprint for how this is going to go for you, especially if you're younger.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Today we're talking about widowhood. Joining us from NPR Studios in New York is Becky Aikman, author of Saturday Night Widows. We're going to hear more about her journey after she got kicked out of that particular support group. But I want to take a quick call. Sarah's been holding from Mansfield. Sarah, what's your question?
Hi, yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I'm recently widowed. I'm 30 years old, and I lost my wife about just a little over a year ago in a drunk driving accident. And I just had a question for your panel. I know a lot of you had said that, you know, your spouse's illnesses gave you a lot of time to process and create plans, but, you know, what is the course of action when you didn't exactly have a plan for what do I do when you go on? You know, like, what do I find love? What do you want me to do? You know, and it's tough when you think about the person every single day. But it's like I just wanted to ask your panel, you know, what is their experience in finding someone else if they feel like they wanted one.
Well, Sarah, thank you for that call, and we're sorry to hear of your loss. I think Mark Dombrowski would be able to answer that question. You know, he lost his wife, Anne, very suddenly. Can you give her some advice?
Yes, first of all, just so sorry to hear of your loss. And it is such a shock that you really do not have time to plan. And I'm not sure what to say to you. I mean, for myself, it's something that, you know, I have young children, and so my focus has really been on them, just getting the timing of it happened such that it was just the start of school. My son is a freshman. My daughter's a sixth grader, so they were both starting new schools. Really, the focus of these last couple months has been on the children, and I'm starting to begin to start thinking about myself and the future. But it's just been such a whirlwind, and with the start of school, Anne did a lot of those things, the schedule and the planning and the doctor's appointments and all of those things. So I'm learning all of those things as I go, and that's been a challenge for me. So, but I think it is natural to begin to think, you know, will I love again? And I'm sure you will.
Sarah, if you could stay on the line, because I know our author, Becky Aikman. So you created your own support group when the one that you went to, you know, didn't fit the bill, so to speak. And the women that you invited to be part of that support group all had different stories. So what can you tell Sarah about when you lose someone suddenly, but then you want to think about restarting again?
Well, after I learned about what actually is helpful to people, I decided to start this sort of crazy alternative support group. There were six of us, and all of us were much further along than Mark is, for example, when really it's perfectly understandable to be knocked flat. All of us were maybe a year to 2 years, in one case, 3 years out, and so therefore ready to turn a corner and start thinking about the future. And one of the first things we discovered is that everyone was thinking about this question. They were young, and they had had happy relationships, and they wanted to be happy again in a new relationship. And in this group, they felt able to talk about that without being judged and without feeling guilty. Because I think a lot of people feel guilty. There's this romantic notion that you can only have one love in your whole life. In fact, research, again, shows that people who have had happy relationships are very well situated to go on and have other happy relationships because they know how it's done. So for us, the major dilemma was to figure out how to go out and find someone new. It was like being a teenager again, having to learn about dating and who's cute and all that kind of stuff. And we discovered that however mature you are, you revert back to very immature behaviors. So we supported each other through all sorts of crazy experiences, meeting people and dating people and facing the issues you face in a more of a midlife relationship. What do you do with your children? What do you do with their children? Do you really want to marry again? Do you want to just be close to someone? So we were all working through those issues and fortunately had people to laugh with about it.
You know, Becky, our producer, Jeff Tyson, has a personal connection to this topic. His father passed away at 50, and his mother ended up meeting another young widower at a support group. They have since married. So in the course of, you know, writing your book and your experiences, is that common for widows and widowers to have that connection, and they're the ones that fall in love?
Oh, I think so. In our little group, our dream was to meet a widower, because he would be somebody who would get what we were going through. I don't think any of us actually did meet a widower. Oh, one did, and that didn't work out. But I can understand how it can work out, because that's someone who can understand you. And I've heard of people meeting in support groups before, too, although I certainly wouldn't join one with that in mind.
Before we take a couple of calls, I wanted to turn back to Ada Rodriguez, who lost her husband a couple of years ago. When we think about this idea of finding love again, is that something that you have felt comfortable thinking about, talking about?
I think it's a process. And in the past 2 years, it's been like an inner process of me trying to figure out what is it that I want with my life. I think I've gotten to the point that I feel like I was ready to move on. And I've always had this idea that you have to be open to the universe and kind of put it out there, you know, do things that you enjoy, show happiness, be kind, and good things will come your way. So I do feel that doing that, you know, being open and so then you kind of get a feel of what's right. And at this point, I've met somebody and I feel happy again. But again, it's that struggle that things that make you happy at the same time you're sad because you miss your spouse. You feel like you're cheating or you feel guilty about the feelings you're having for somebody else. And that's kind of like the process and the struggles.
Christy, before we take a call, what do you think about that topic? I know you just lost Tracy a few months ago, but is this something that because of, you know, that he'd been ill for a long time, is it something that you had talked about with him about what your life would be like when he's no longer here?
Yeah, no, we talked about it. And, you know, I think because I am in sort of the beginning parts of this, it's certainly, you know, something that I think about, you know, and it's funny, too, because we talked sort of at length about it. And all he said to me was, well, you know, Christy, you're a smart woman. He's like, just make sure you get involved with someone who's not really complicated. And then we had a good laugh. So, I'll be open to that when the time comes. But, you know, all in time.
Right. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Let's take some calls now. Nancy's been holding from Wallingford. Nancy, you're on the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that I came on after Sarah because I was only 25 when my first husband died in an accident, and I was left kind of shell-shocked, and I can hear that in her voice now. But I want to tell her and everyone else that there is hope. I was 25. I was pregnant. I talked to my husband at 6 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, I got a call from the hospital that he was dead. He had been killed in an accident. And so I found myself at 25. I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. That didn't work out too well, but I went back and finished my bachelor's degree, got 2 master's degrees, got remarried, had a couple more children, have had a great career of teaching, and now I'm retired and I'm teaching adult students at night. So there is life. There is life again and love again and good again. And the other thing that I would say, especially in light of the recent election season, is that what you don't see on the news is that people are generally kinder and more generous than we expect them to be. And your hope and your help comes very often from people you didn't expect it from.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Nancy. I know Mark touched on that a little bit earlier about just the outpouring of support that you've gotten from the West Hartford community.
That's right. So, I mean, one of the great things they did for me as a dad with kids was create something called a meal train. So each night around dinner time, a different West Hartford woman appears at my door with food and I get a hug. So I think that is a really nice thing. And, you know, how long can this thing go? So I think we are booked through January. But, you know, that's just one small example of the outpouring of, and the only complaint is there's not enough slots on it. You know, people really want to give. So I've been very appreciative of that support I've received.
And I want to turn back to the author that's joining us from NPR New York, Becky Aikman, who wrote the book Saturday Night Widows, The Adventures of Six Friends Remaking Their Lives. So obviously support is important, but what advice and what did you learn from, you know, spending time with these other widows about how they can help themselves?
I learned that everybody is different and that there is no one piece of advice for everyone. I did learn that our approach worked very well. We got together once a month, always on a Saturday night, and we did new adventures together because we wanted to get accustomed to the experience of trying new things. So we did trips and we took a cooking class. And one thing that has gotten a lot of attention is we went out lingerie shopping together once so that everybody could get comfortable again with the idea of being attractive and thinking about those issues. So I did learn that pushing yourself a little bit outside your comfort zone can be very helpful after a time. I want to emphasize this. In the first few months, it is perfectly fine to feel lousy and not push yourself to do anything. Let people bring you those covered dishes and enjoy them. But over time, I think we did learn that getting out there on your own and trying new things is very helpful, and having a sense of humor about it. And we all followed each other's adventures, which was very helpful. So another thing I would suggest to people who are in this position or who know someone who's in this position, if you know someone else who is, introduce them. Because meeting someone else who is going through this is one of the most helpful things you can do. And it doesn't have to be within the structure of some gloomy support group. It can be two people getting together, sharing their experiences, having a laugh about it, encouraging each other, and going out and doing something fun. So that would be one of my primary pieces of advice.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. I'm talking with journalist and author Becky Aikman, who wrote the book Saturday Night Widows, The Adventures of Six Friends Remaking Their Lives. And she's also here with us in studio with Christy Koval, Ada Rodriguez, and Mark Dombrowski, all Connecticut residents who've recently lost their spouses. We're talking about widowhood today from the perspective of people not retirement age. And if you're waiting to ask a question or a comment, we'll take that after the break. This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Today we're talking about widowhood. Joining us from NPR studios in New York is Becky Aikman, journalist and author of Saturday Night Widows. And in studio with us are three Connecticut residents, Christy Koval, Ada Rodriguez, and Mark Dombrowski, all who've lost spouses. And I want to take some calls now. Peter's been holding from Canton. Peter, you're on the show.
Yes, hello. Thank you, Lucy. And again, my sympathies to all the people who are widows, especially those who were widowed recently. I was widowed at age 31 after my wife had a six-year battle with cancer. That was 18 years ago. And I remember at the time my son was about 2.5 years old. I just remember thinking, I'll never be happy again. I'll never love again. I don't want to love again. And what I can say to the people that are there or people that are newly widowed is the smoke eventually cleared. And for me, it made a big difference getting into a good support group. In Connecticut, we're very fortunate. Mary's Place in Windsor, Connecticut is a center that has a support group for young widows and widowers. So it's typically people that are young, that most of them have children at home. And for me, it was such a huge benefit to get with people that knew what we were going through. I had a lot of loving family and friends from town, but to get together with people that knew what you were going through was such a huge difference. Now, for me, I also met my current wife in that support group. Now, why I went is, as I think the author said, but to connect with someone that you knew was going through what you were going through was wonderful. She had three children. Her husband went to work and died unexpectedly one day, so our situations were very different. But 15 years ago, we blended our families. They're all young adults now, and life is just wonderful. The other thing that I would like to add for people that are widows is getting in a support group or talking with people that are going through is very important. But you also, as widowers, we would talk, you need to do the work. You just can't bury it away. You can't busy yourself with life. You need to grieve. You need to do the work. And once you, if you do the work, you'll be, it's hard, but you'll be happy you did it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Peter. You know, I wanted to turn back to Mark Dombrowski. You know, you cracked a joke before the break, and I was curious about, you know, when we talk about humor, is that taboo when we think about people who've lost their spouses? And you know, you've described yourself to the producer of that, you know, you are an extrovert and, you know, you've got a positive outlook. Mm-hmm. You know, did you feel like, you know, when you want to be more yourself, in a crowd, even though you've lost your wife recently, that does it feel strange to be the way you are and to see how I can, you know, still be positive and crack a joke and feel good?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, you know, my wife Anne enjoyed my sense of humor. It sort of tamped down a little of her seriousness, you know. So whenever I feel like things are getting a little too serious, I like to lighten it with humor. And that's just part of me and who I am. So I think it is helpful for breaking the stress and a lot of the tension from everything that we're going through.
And before I take another call, Becky Aikman's with us. Again, she's the author of Saturday Night Widows. And I wanted to ask you about the label widow and widower. And is that, are we not doing these people justice by labeling them as a widow, even though they've lost their spouse? I mean, how can we, I guess, change the conversation, Becky?
It's such an unfortunate word because it just has so many connotations of somebody who is sad, the one person you wouldn't want to sit next to at Thanksgiving dinner. But the fact is, it is the only word for what has happened to us. So the six of us in my little group eventually decided we would own that word. We would make a widow cool, which probably only worked in our minds. But I agree, it's a tough label. When you first realize that label applies to you, it's such a grim moment. So you've just got to push past it. There's no other way. And I would just want to say to Mark that there are studies that show that people who have a good sense of humor have the best mental health years after an event like this. So nurture that sense of humor. It's very useful for getting past any difficult transition in life.
Kevin's calling from Glastonbury. Kevin, you're on Where We Live.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I don't quite fit. I'm the adult son of a young widow, and I have a whole lifetime experience, but I'll keep it down to two quick points. One was my mother got involved in single-parent activities. So she didn't have that label of widow. It was single-parent, and there was not one other widow in the whole group. They were all divorced couples. And we had a great time. We went on ski trips. We went biking. We had cookouts. And it was great being raised this way. And the other thing, the story that she related to me that was so sad, especially about this whole thing about labeled, people told her that her married friends were going to cut off those relationships. And that's exactly what happened. Out of all the people she knew, she only had one friend that stuck with her after my dad died.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. You know, Christy, what do you think about what Kevin is saying about when someone is widowed, their original support network, maybe married couples, don't know how to interact with someone?
Well, I think you know, I think that there's some people, you know, that sort of fall by the wayside. They may be feeling sort of awkward about what's happened to you and not know how to interact with you because, you know, the situation has currently changed. But I really haven't found that to be the case. I think if you've had nurturing relationships with people, you know, you have to sort of be direct and, again, use your sense of humor. So you may have gone out with another couple and there were four and now there's three. But, you know, I think, you know, if you've had close friends for many, many years, I feel like they should be able to weather that transition, you know, with you.
And if you're listening and you're married and know someone who is recently widowed, keep inviting them out.
Absolutely.
Keep inviting them to your dinner table. Lori's been calling and waiting from West Haven. Lori, we just have a couple of minutes. What's your question or comment?
Okay, my situation is I just recently met a very lovely gentleman at the grocery store, and we've developed a relationship. And he's been recently widowed. I'm 63, but he's 72, and he had been married for a long, long time. And so right now he's, of course, emotionally fragile, but he also now has to deal with a cancer concern. And I just really want to know how I can possibly, you know, help him, because, you know, to go from it's like jumping out of the pan into the fire, so to speak. How does one help a person who's facing a cancer concern who's also recently widowed? His wife will have passed away 2 years this November.
Okay, Lori, thank you. That's a good question. I'll ask Ada to take that. Ada Rodriguez.
Yes, I do think that that's a it's a very difficult for a person to be dealing with this. My professional recommendation would be that he probably would need to find somebody that is a mental health counselor to assist him with that, because that is a very difficult situation that he is going through, and very specific.
And before we end the show, I wanted to turn back to Becky Aikman. You know, you did a lot of research. You know what it's like to be a young widow. You know, what are some like parting words of advice for people? And what have you heard from since your book came out, Saturday Night Widows?
Well, I've actually received thousands of letters from people who really want to share their experience. They're very long letters, so I feel like one of the world's leading experts on what is on the minds of widows. And it's very much what people here were talking about. How do you continue to fit into your social circle? What do you do about the issue of finding love again? How do you blend a family if you have found someone again? There are so many different issues that people face, and one way to look at it is it's a dramatic turning point, but it is an opportunity to do new things. It's very important to remember that grief is not an end in itself. It's not a static condition. Grief is a process of finding comfort, and you can do that in many ways. And it doesn't have to be sad all the time. It can be a process of finding new insight and new joy. It's important not to see it only as a negative thing. And I think the people I hear from and the people in my book all discovered that they learned new things about themselves, and that they grew and they had exciting new experiences in their lives. Mm. So it wasn't all bad. A lot of it was good. And it's like any other transition in life. Mm. You've got to rip out some of the old patterns and set new patterns, but that can be a positive thing in the long run.
Thank you so much, Becky Aikman, the author of Saturday Night Widows. And also to our guests in studio, thank you so much for talking about something that is a difficult topic. Ada Rodriguez and Mark Dombrowski, both West Hartford residents, and always good to see you again, Christy Koval from Middletown. And we can continue this conversation online, and I do want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Our show is produced by Lydia Brown and Jeff Tyson. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Thanks for listening.